a jail, singing, and an earthquake.
Grab your Bible and let's talk.
Welcome to the Bible Glitter and Glue podcast, where Bible study and thought-provoking conversation lead to creative teaching. Now, here are your hosts, David and Mary Nelson.
Welcome to another episode of Bible Glitter and Glue. I'm Mary, and across from me is David.
Hello.
And we're opening our Bibles again in the New Testament and looking at the book of Acts. In today's lesson that we're doing, we're looking at Acts chapter 16. David, when I read these opening verses and I read about the city of Philippi and the situation there, I'm just reminded that when Paul goes somewhere, he arrives, but Satan has already been at work, and he has to deal with how Satan has affected people's lives.
Yeah, that's right. Wherever Paul goes, he has to face opposition, and that opposition is often manifested spiritually. In our story today, it says in verse 16, once while we were going to the place for prayer, a servant girl met us. She had a special spirit in her, or an evil spirit in her. In fact, in the original language, it says a python spirit in her. And Paul is confronted by an evil spirit. This spirit is opposed to Paul. It goes on to say that she earned a lot of money for her owners by telling fortunes. But she was being exploited. This poor slave girl was not only possessed by this spirit, but she was being exploited by her owners for their own benefit, for their own monetary gain. We're going to see that we have evil forces opposed to Jesus, but in the end, it's going to be Jesus that is going to overpower this evil spirit. There's a lot of evil in this world, a lot of power, but God's power is stronger.
Paul casts out this spirit from this girl. And like you said, she had been exploited by her owners. And they were, instead of ever even thinking of trying to help this woman who has this evil spirit in her, she's being used. And so that's changed. Paul confronts Satan. Paul maybe was just a little bit annoyed by this calling out that the spirit was doing. It was distracting from the message he wanted to preach. All of these things, they were happening around, and this really rocked the boat, I guess you'd say, in this community. These slave owners did not like it that Paul, by helping this woman, actually took their livelihood away, and so they began to stir up trouble.
So what they do is they grab Paul and Silas, and they drag them before the city rulers in the marketplace, in the public place. So they were beginning to humiliate Paul and Silas. The heart of the story, which we're about to get to in verse 19 and following, I think it might be appropriate for us to read. You read first, and then I'll just read after you.
All right, that sounds good. The owners of the servant girl saw this. These men knew that now they could not use her to make money. So they grabbed Paul and Silas and dragged them before the city rulers in the marketplace. Here they brought Paul and Silas to the Roman rulers and said, "These men are Jews and are making trouble in our city. They are teaching things that are not right for us as Romans to do." The crowd joined the attack against them. The Roman officers tore the clothes off of Paul and Silas and had them beaten with rods again and again. After being severely beaten, Paul and Silas were thrown into jail. The jailer was ordered to guard them carefully. When he heard this order, he put them far inside the jail. He pinned down their feet between large blocks of wood.
About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing songs to God. The other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a big earthquake. It was so strong that it shook the foundations of the jail. Then all the doors of the jail broke open. All the prisoners were freed from their chains. The jailer woke up and saw that the jail doors were open. He thought that the prisoners had already escaped. So he got his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul shouted, "Don't hurt yourself. We're all here." The jailer told someone to bring a light. Then he ran inside, shaking with fear. He fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them outside and said, "Men, what must I do to be saved?" And they said to him, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and all the people in your house." So Paul and Silas told the message of the Lord to the jailer and all the people in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took Paul and Silas and washed their wounds. Then he and all his people were baptized immediately. After this, the jailer took Paul and Silas home and gave them food. He and his family were very happy because they now believed in God.
That is a lot of drama in that story. You have real brutality in the way that Paul and Silas are treated. It's horrible. Quickly read through those words, but they were really suffering here. And you would think maybe the natural reaction would be just to cower and just cry. So it's very shocking, I think, what they did in that situation.
Mary, when you were reading this text, it just jumped out at me how often the word Roman is used, because Paul and Silas were just labeled as troublemaking Jews. And then that's a contrast to us Romans, and like Romans are better, and this is a Roman place. And it was a Roman colony. There were a lot of retired Roman soldiers living in Philippi. And so there's this huge contrast between Paul and Silas of these Jews who were troublemakers and the Romans. And that's going to come back and haunt them toward the end of the story.
So true. I mean, these are the outsiders, and we are the heroes. After this brutality, like I said, you would think the reaction would be one of just crying and depression. But no, they sing. That's amazing.
That is amazing. I was thinking, you know, if that happened to me, what would I be doing in the jail? I don't know if I would be praying and singing to God. But they just weren't singing to God. It says the other prisoners were listening to them. So nobody was asleep. Well, except the jailer. He is the one who is asleep.
Well, David, I mentioned this in an earlier podcast, but a few years ago, I had the opportunity to be a speaker on a tour that was going through Greece, and we got to visit Philippi, and we went to some jail cells. And, you know, I always imagined that a jail like this would be really big. I'm thinking of a prison today, but it was really more like, I felt more like a cave. It was a structure that had a door. Inside was kind of dark, but it wasn't that big. These cells weren't big. Here are two prisoners singing, and there are more prisoners in there. It would have been very crowded, I think. But singing, everyone would have heard that. Everyone inside that cell, but outside too. It's not that big. So that singing would have been heard around. I don't know if that would have been common to hear singing coming from these horrific jails.
No, I can't imagine that would be heard very often. But they were singing, but and then there was this earthquake. And the foundations of the jail shook. It was so strong that the doors came off their hinges and all the chains and the prisoners fell away or fell off and they were all free. And then the jailer wakes up and he sees the chaos in front of him. The doors are off their hinges. He assumes that the prisoners are gone and he knows what that means. He knows that he will have to forfeit his life. And so the only honorable thing for a Roman soldier to do was to fall on the sword. And that way he would actually be preserving the honor of his family by killing himself at not fulfilling his duty as a Roman soldier. And so he's about to do that and Paul sees him and Paul shouts out, "Don't hurt yourself. We're all here."
Hearing that from a prisoner would have been so unexpected. First of all, that the prisoner was still there would have been unexpected. He had not run off. And Paul says the rest of them are still there. They're all still there. And so this jailer thought he was in trouble before, but now he's got to come to grips with this really weird situation. As if the singing was not enough, now he finds out these prisoners didn't even run away. This is not a normal situation for a jailer. I really think that's interesting what he then asks Paul, because everything seems to have worked out really well for him. He doesn't have to kill himself. The prisoners are still there. He's not going to be in trouble. But he still asks Paul, what do I do to be saved? He's afraid now for a different reason. He wasn't afraid because everything was going badly. He's afraid now because everything has gone right and this just doesn't seem normal. Something's up. He's still fearful. This is so confusing. But Paul now uses this opportunity to teach the jailer, who may very well have been part of that beating. And he is speaking the words of truth to this man.
So he probably meant one thing by the question, what must I do to be saved? He wasn't asking it from a Christian perspective or anything like that. He was probably asking from his own pagan, superstitious perspective. But Paul's response is what he needed to hear. Because when he says, what must I do to be saved? He may have been thinking being saved from these evil spirits that may be out to get me or something like that. But Paul says, you need to believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and everyone in your house. Paul and Silas began at that moment to teach them about Jesus. And it says, at that hour of the night, the jailer took Paul and Silas, he washed their wounds, and then they were baptized.
So when you were reading that, David, just then, at that hour of the night, so this all happened in one night, but even in a very short time within that night, they were doing a lot of talking, weren't they, explaining God to this man. And you wonder, did he know things before? Was this the first time he learned about God? But whatever the case, there wouldn't have been time to explain the whole Bible to this man. But he knew enough that he needed Jesus. He saw the power of Jesus. He knew he needed Jesus, and he was baptized.
After Lydia and her household were baptized, she persuaded Paul to stay at her house. And now the jailer does the same. He too shows hospitality. And this seems to be a good ending to the story, but this is actually not the ending of this story. The story continues in verse 35 through verse 40.
It's sort of like, meanwhile, the next morning, the Roman officials came to visit the jailer. I don't know if they knew all of this had gone on, or if they just had sort of realized they didn't really have enough to hold these prisoners on. But for whatever reason, they've come to say they're free. They can leave. And that would be good in one sense, being free, but it looks like Paul did not want to leave it at that.
No, Paul was a man of principle and a man of justice. They may have wanted Paul and Silas to leave because they didn't want Paul and Silas to stir up more trouble for their city. Just get out of here. Paul was publicly shamed, and he expects to be publicly honored. Then Paul drops this little bomb in verse 37. They beat us in public without a trial, even though we are Roman citizens. Oops, that's a huge mistake that they made.
Well, that puts another light on that subject they were talking about earlier when they were beating them up and throwing them in prison. Remember how they were saying, we're Romans, you're just Jews, we're the elite here, we could just discard these guys because Romans are everything. Wow. Oops, he's, like you said, now we find out, oh, he's not just a Jew. These guys are not just Jews. They're Roman citizens.
Right. And it was illegal to beat a Roman citizen without a trial. They've just broken the law. They're these proud Romans who lived by Roman principles and Roman law and all this. They just broke the Roman law. So their jobs were in jeopardy.
Yeah. David, just a little side note. Why do you think Paul didn't bring this up earlier? When they were beating him, throwing him in jail, tearing their clothes off, putting chains on them. I wonder if Paul saw a further destiny ahead of him. I wonder if he thought, I'm here to do an important thing, I'm going to go with this?
That's a very good question. I think you're right. I think that Paul sees the bigger picture. And we do know later in some of his letters, he talks about he feels honored when he suffers for the sake of the name of Jesus. And he was willing to do this. And he sees, I believe, suffering in the sense that it can be redemptive. And of course, we see it works out redemptively in the life of the jailers. We don't know why Paul didn't bring this up earlier. Like, hey, I'm a Roman citizen, you can't beat me. But I think Paul just sees the bigger picture. I think he just fully trusted God to work his will out in his life.
But also that he doesn't mind, or at least he doesn't fight this suffering when it's for a purpose, when it's leading somewhere. But then he didn't take suffering at the hands of these Romans at the end. He made a point to say, oh, if you want us free, those guys need to come and tell us. We're not going to do this quietly. So that's what had to happen. And they did. They were afraid also. They did not want to get in trouble. So they came and apologized to these prisoners. Can you imagine that? And said, get out of town, please.
They nicely.
Even then, Paul and Silas did not quickly get out of town. They stopped and visited before they left town. What a turn of events.
Wow, yeah. So they left town, yes, they did, but on their own terms. They went back to Lydia's house and encouraged her and maybe recuperated somewhat from their hurts.
And it's interesting. Now when they leave this city of Philippi, everyone knew they were there. Everyone had heard about this. And they left with their heads held high. So they really made a mark. And they left in a way that was the best for spreading the gospel. We hear about Philippi again years later, because Paul writes to the church in Philippi. This place will come up again in the future.
Well, Mary, there's a lot of drama going on in this story. So in a children's class, what can you do with this story that will help us be meaningful and come alive and help children understand?
Well, I think the children can grasp this story. It's like, okay, people were hurting them. They didn't do anything wrong, but these people were hurting them and they put them in jail. And this whole idea of them singing in jail. I mean, kids relate to that. I asked kids one time, what songs do you think they sang? And of course, we don't know. But one of the kids said, oh, I think they sang, I'm all wrapped up, tied up, tangled up in Jesus. You know, it could have been that. Could have been later in Philippians, Paul writes, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice, Philippians 4:4. So maybe he was singing about that. So this idea of singing in jail, despite the terrible circumstances, we can still have joy. I talk about that with kids. Sometimes bad things happen, but we can still know that God loves us and we can still rejoice. You know, any craft about that could be good. You might write out Philippians 4:4 or have the children write that on a poster and then decorate it. And even just put Acts 16 in the corner to remember Paul and Silas. There are other, if you like to do crafts, and a lot of us do in class, you know, you can make chains out of paper and talk about the chains that were on Paul and Silas in this story. Even simply drawing stick figures of two people and with some chains on them, and then put a box around that and just draw lines down from top to bottom across the page like prison bars. For a fun thing, having the children draw Paul and Silas in prisons. That works out good. There are a number of things you can do in that class, but what about an adult class?
Well, I think it's always good to read the story, and so I would suggest that adult classes read the story. It's from verse 16 through verse 40, and there's different ways of reading the stories. I want to suggest, as a facilitator, a teacher in the class, to choose different people to read the different parts. So you would choose someone to read the narrator's part, someone to read Paul's part, the jailers and the city officials, and just have that kind of dramatic reading, because that will add to the drama that's already very much present in this story. And you can also say this to the class, using your imagination, what were the songs they might have been singing? Why do you think they were singing and praying in their situation? What would you have been doing at midnight if that was you? I think that'd be a good discussion question. And you might want to give them a prompt. Paul and Silas were singing. They were probably singing from the book of Psalms. That was the early church's songbook. You might want to point people toward the book of Psalms and maybe have them go through the Psalms. What psalm would be appropriate in the situation that Paul and Silas found themselves in? And I'm just thinking one more thing. The psalm that comes to my mind that we sing at our congregation we attend is Rescue Me. And I think that would be an appropriate song to go with this story. And one more question, and we talked about this in our podcast just a little while ago. Why didn't Paul mention that he was a Roman citizen before he was beaten? And why only reveal that truth the next day to the Roman officials? So those are some questions I think will make your class more interesting and to stimulate some good discussion.
David, as we were looking through this scripture, I just was reminded how strong Paul's faith was, Paul and Silas in this story, and how despite all of the terrible things that were happening, they never wavered from looking towards God. And I think when I'm teaching, we talk about a lot of good things and happy things, but it's good sometimes to remember and to remind the children that sad things will happen. Bad things will happen in life. If we don't talk about those things, it's not quite fair, because when those things happen, we want to give them some tools. We want them to remember people like Paul and Silas and remember that despite terrible things happening, we can always turn to God. And that's the kind of teacher I want to be. I want to help my students be prepared for those times.
That's a good reminder, Mary.
And may God bless you as you speak into the lives of both adults and children.
Thank you for listening to the Bible Glitter and Glue podcast. Subscribe now to listen to new weekly episodes and visit missionbibleclass.org for more free resources to help you share God's word with children.